duties, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt addressed the nation through a series of radio broadcasts known as the Fireside Chats. His aim was to reassure the common man that our society would recover from its troubled times. But we're far from 1930, and I deal with a different kind of far. For a new era of worldly frustration, we offer a fresh conversation. I'm Greg Carlwood, and these are the Fireside Chats.
Happy September, Fireside Chatters. How the hell are you? Drinking a little drink, smoking a little smoke, and getting ready to dig deeper than deep from the sweet, sweet lands of San Diego. I'm Greg Carlwood, and we've been hearing all year that September and the end of 2015 is a time to watch for the alternatively educated. And now that we're here, it definitely seems like there's plenty of conspiratorial threads to pull on. CERN ramping up the Large Hadron Collider, the crescendo of the Jade Helm operations, a nasty string of underreported doctor deaths, and we've also seen several of the proverbial shots fired in the global currency wars, not to mention the literal shots fired in the seemingly engineered race wars here in the States. There is no shortage of things to talk about, and today's guest has been all over these topics and more on his YouTube channels, Professor Doom 1 and Professor Doom 2, where he has over 600 videos chock full of rabbit hole research and nearly 50,000 subscribers, a powerhouse of the parapolitical, and a master educator and speculator of the highest degree. Professor Doom, welcome to THC.
Hey, how you doing, buddy? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that was pretty master speculator.
And educator.
Yeah, you know what? It sometimes that's what it takes to get other people who see your stuff to actually make connections or connecting the dots that you didn't.
No doubt, man. And I definitely don't mean it to be a bad thing. One, it just rhymes, but it is part of what we have to do if we're going to be in this realm. The shadowy puppet masters are above the law. They own the media. There isn't going to be a lot of black and white evidence, especially not in your face, for a lot of these things. You have to extract the patterns and fill in the blanks. And it's a beautiful thing when someone does it as well as you, because there really is just no getting around it.
Absolutely. And you have police departments do it all the time, you know, building a case on circumstantial evidence, right? That's exactly the same thing that we do.
Yeah.
Looking at all the evidence, whether it be circumstantial, to piece together the whole puzzle, because they're not going to make what they do easy for you to figure out. You know what I mean?
Right.
If they did, then sheep would be waking up left and right.
Amen, man. Yeah, the way I found out about your channel was because I was getting these emails about how I really needed to cover this string of doctor deaths that's going on. And I asked the audience, okay, well, who should I get for this? Who's talking about it? And your name came up several times. And after digging through your channel, man, I was pretty blown away. You have your finger on the pulse of several seriously interesting and important sagas. You go way down deep to the end of the pool, which is what we like most. But I hope to squeeze in as much as we can, but we probably should start with this GC Math saga. Some people will be new to this, some won't, but from what I understand, it seems like there has been some important medical advancements surrounding what's being called GC Math and a string of holistic doctor deaths that seem to be related. What does this look like to you? What's going on here?
Well, what happened was, let me explain to your listeners exactly how this came into play here.
Yeah.
I had actually been sort of contacting Health Nut News, who's Aaron Elizabeth, who she is the wife of Dr. Mercola. So we talked back and forth a little bit. And, well, all of a sudden, there was like a string of these holistic doctor deaths. There was a couple other doctors that weren't in that exact field, but it was rather strange. Then all of a sudden, we had a Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, who was in perfect health and died of a mysterious heart attack.
Hmm.
So I reported on that, and I reported on Dr. Jeff Bradstreet. And what I got this enigmatic email that was like, you know what, do you want to know why these doctors are dying? You want the information? So I was like, so they told me to call, and it just so happened to be a member of the Bradstreet camp.
Hmm.
And they gave me the whole rundown, exactly what was going on. They told me they had researched my videos. They told me they thought that they could trust me. Here's the information. Research this a little bit. Research that a little bit. And here's what's up.
Wow.
So basically what I was finding is, and what Dr. Bradstreet was sharing with other doctors in Florida, because that's where he was originally practicing at. That's where he was originally from. And then he moved to Georgia. He was sharing with them, some that he knew, exactly what he was finding. And what he was finding is that Nogalase is appearing in children with autism at a highly elevated level. What does that mean? Well, Nogalase is released with from cancer cells, tumors, and stuff like that. But the thing is that children with autism don't have cancers. They don't have tumors. So where is the high levels of Nogalase coming from? To explain to your listeners what Nogalase is a blocker. It is an enzyme, I do believe that's what they claimed it was. It was an enzyme that blocks GC protein in your body from binding with vitamin D and creating natural GC MAF, which is a globulin macrophage activating factor. That's what that creates. GC protein and vitamin D together, it's basically protects your immune system. Well, the Nogalase is blocking that process, and it makes your immune system weak. So what ends up happening is that's why you see, you know, people getting older. That's why you see strings and strings of people coming down with cancers, with immunodeficiency situations, stuff like that, right? Well, what they're finding is that these MMR vaccines, the measles, mumps, rubella,
right,
uses a bacteria. That's what it is. It's a bacteria to get your system used to it so it protects against it. Well, what they're doing is they're putting inactive and dead bacteria, but in some instances, it's alive bacteria, which the Nogalase will feed off of and just make it go out of control.
Shit.
So that's what they were finding. And all of a sudden, Dr. Bradstreet starts talking a little bit, but he's kind of not revealing it yet. You know what I mean? Because he's sharing with his colleagues. And bam, the FDA hits him. Bam, the FDA hits this one over here. This doctor's dead. This doctor's disappearing. Now we have a whole string of disappearances and deaths.
Wow.
And the only logical conclusion is what Dr. Bradstreet had found, what he was sharing, and who it was implicating. And it was implicating Big Pharma, and it was implicating the Big Pharma and their vaccine is that they create. Other thing that your listeners need to be aware of is that back in 1986, the pharmaceutical companies were crying to, they were lobbying, the politicians and stuff. You know what? You need to do away with these our culpability for these vaccines. So the politicians made it where it was you can't sue the pharmaceutical companies, and the only thing that you can recoup for any kind of damages due to vaccines is a surcharge that is placed on each vaccine, vaccine shot, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's the only recourse that an individual has if they bring a negligence suit or anything like that. The only thing you're going to get is a part of the fund that's set up for that, a surcharge fund.
Hush money.
Hey, that's basically what it is. since 1986, they did that. And now, you have the thimerosal issues, the mercuries, the blah, blah, blah. But it's the MMR vaccine that everybody needs to be on the lookout for, because that's the one that uses these bacterias. And it's not all the time that these bacterias are actually dead and inactive. And that's all it takes for that, for the Nogalase to just bam, and it'll feed right off that bacteria and just grow. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, your kid has autism shortly after he's given that MMR vaccine.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, man, that is quite a bummer. Now, I know you did interview a doctor yourself who talked about being able to reverse some of the effects of autism with some of the work she was doing. Is that right?
Right. See, here's the thing. The GC MAF that was being created in Europe, that was actually hit by regulatory agencies and shut down. There are Dr. Yamamoto and others in Japan that are using it and are not having a problem, and they're having very, very promising results. what this doctor, Dr. Millie Hinkle, she works with a, I know this is going to sound crazy to your listeners, but camel's milk. Mm-hmm. And the reason why that is because it has high levels of natural GCMAF, you know, probiotic type, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Did you ever notice something strange about the raw milk that the feds were going after here in the United States with the Amish and others?
Yeah.
Well, they don't want you using unprocessed milk, the raw milk, because guess what? It has GCMAF in it that is actually going to heal you.
Wow.
They don't – absolutely. Yeah. They're doing this on purpose to – it's like – if you didn't introduce this into people's bodies and people would have this natural occurrence in their body, well, what need would there be for Big Pharma and their treatments for cancer or their treatments for this or their that treatment they do for cancers where it
chemotherapy.
There you go. Sorry, lost my mind.
It happens, man.
Yeah. So the chemotherapy, right? The chemotherapy is a huge business.
Yeah.
Huge, right? So what would their need be if people weren't coming down with cancers due to what they're introducing into your body, right?
Right, right,
so
yeah.
There you have it.
And it seems like, you know, obviously people in the conspiratorial world have been speculating for a long time or suggesting that the truth behind vaccines is a campaign to dumb us down, to keep us sick, to keep us in the business of pharmaceuticals. And obviously, it seems like we are looking at a concerted effort to keep this GCMAF information out and keep vaccines in. I mean, the push in the mainstream for vaccines right now is huge, and it's totally disproportionate to any actual problem that we see out there.
Absolutely. All you have to do, this is what I tell everybody when they comment to me about, you know, how can you be so sure that they're telling you right or, you know, that you're on to something here. I go, all you have to really do is look at these communities, the Hutterites, the Amish communities, the Quakers over, you know, Pennsylvania, whatever. Go, why don't you go and inspect and see how many cases of autism they have?
Right.
See how many cases of cancer they have. And I guarantee you, you're going to find that it is almost nil, absolutely nil. How is that possible?
Well, right.
That's because you know what they don't do. Right? They don't subject their children to vaccines. They homeschool their own children, right?
Right.
So I think you have your answer, is that none of the sheep are going to look in those directions. Your mainstream media is not going to go, well, how come, you know, the Amish don't have a case of autism? How come they don't have cancers except for maybe from, you know, surrounding circumstances, you know, power lines or whatever the case may be?
Right.
But you know what I'm saying?
Exactly, man. And something I've been saying about vaccines is even if you believe in the science of it, even if you have no problem with that, like I'm not questioning necessarily the science, but it's like these pharmaceutical companies, we look at the drugs that they put out and we see that there's far more side effects than benefits in most cases. Everyone sees the commercials on TV. It's a big joke now that there's so many side effects to their medicines, quote unquote, that they're not worth taking. Why don't we apply that same critical thinking to the vaccines? For some reason, vaccines are immune to that criticism. We were like, oh, well, they have to be 100% effective and there can't be any side effects. But look at all the other products these companies make, you know?
Right. Well, think about this. The whole reason why that big push in California with this this new vaccine law they just came out with.
Right.
Well, this guess who pushed that? The American Medical Association. And they use their reasoning behind this because of the outbreak of measles that happened at Disneyland.
Exactly. Well,
but wait a minute. But what they're not telling you is that 20% of the people that came down with measles from that incident had been vaccinated for measles before.
Funny thing.
Isn't that just like, what the heck? So Governor Moonbeam or Jerry Brown, whatever you want to call him these days, he states in an article, he says, yes, with all medical treatments, including vaccines, there is a risk, but the benefits to the community outweigh that risk. Excuse me, if there's even one iota of a risk, can you really get the people on board to make this mandatory?
Yeah.
When there's a risk involved, there should nothing be mandatory if there's even one speckle of risk involved.
I agree. So, how many doctors have died in this saga so far? What are the causes of death in these cases? You said one was a sudden heart attack. I mean, are there any other things going on? Are there potentially some that are being labeled suicides, like we saw in the string of banker deaths a while ago?
Well, here's okay. This is what I want to state about this. We'll get to the banker's death at the end of what I talk about the doctors here.
Okay.
Now, the doctors, like with Jeff Bradstreet, they claim that he must have been distraught over the FDA raiding his offices, which I've talked to the families. I have plenty of conversation with Candace and Tom Bradstreet, who's the brother and sister-in-law of Jeff Bradstreet. And they state that there is no way their brother would do that. He's not a coward. And they talked to him even after the raid happened. And he was sure that this was going to, you know, that there was going to be nothing coming of this.
Mm-hmm.
So then all of a sudden, he's taking a trip to go visit people over in North Carolina. Yeah, North Carolina. And what, he shoots himself in the chest. He's... this guy has a doctorate, right? Why wouldn't he use something that doctors know would be quick and painless?
Right.
Ah, exactly. But he shoots himself not in the head, but in the chest, and he's found actually wedged in between two rocks in the water. So that's one. Then yeah. You have some doctors who mysteriously disappeared in Mexico, supposedly going down there for a trip. You have a doctor who was going to visit his son, and I can't remember if he was going from Dakota to Wisconsin or vice versa, whatever, but his vehicle was found on the side of the road, and he was gone. So that was a weird disappearance right there.
Yeah.
Then you have Dr. Seavers, Dr. something White, I can't remember. Dr. Seavers was found murdered with a hammer, and then all of a sudden some weird stories came out about some Wiccan type weird stuff where people were being killed with a hammer, and now they're trying to say that that was part of that, but that doesn't make any sense because now they're claiming that Dr. Seaver's husband's friend, who happens to have the name Hammer in his name, isn't that really awful?
That happens all the time, weird stuff like that.
Yeah, well, that's what makes it all weird, right? So now they're saying that he was involved and they went to go make an arrest and an extraditing him to Florida. So there's another one, Bouvier or whatever. She's been retired now for, I don't know, some years. And she's like 64, and they just found her body in her house and she had been stabbed. Well, the thing is, who would be her enemy, right?
Yeah.
Who would be her enemy at that age? It can't be she rebuffed some guy, sexual advances or something. That don't make any sense. And they say her house wasn't robbed. So you're kind of left with limited reasonings behind her death. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but that's just a few. Now, what makes this more interesting is this. What I've noticed about all the dead bankers is that with all of the strange circumstances behind their death, one guy jumps 30 feet away from his building and cracks his face on a banister.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, all right. I don't know how in the heck he got that far away from the building to land there. But anyway, then you have the female banker that was somewhere in Illinois, somewhere around there, Michigan maybe. She was in a bike accident, but first they said that she was stabbed. Then they changed the story to a bike accident. Then you have the guy who shot himself twice, which didn't make any sense. Then you have a guy who stabbed himself in his bathtub multiple times, and they said he committed suicide, yet the knife was found underneath his body. So I'm like thinking here, wait a minute. How are all of these mysterious deaths involving bankers and not one family member comes out into the public and says, you know what? I'm not buying this story.
That's true.
Or how about a banker stating, you know what? There's a lot of my colleagues dying and I got something to say because I don't want to be the next dead one.
Right.
There's none of that. So what that tells me is either A, these people have already earned their spot into an underground bunker for what's coming up, or they're faking this for some other reason, maybe to keep other bankers quiet and make them think that they're dead. I don't know.
Could be.
It's a mystery right now, really.
It is. It is. And speaking of what could be coming up, I mean, as important as this GC Math saga is and these banker deaths, there are some other big things going on that you have been covering involving potentially CERN. And I did have a great guest a while back named Anthony Patch, who broke down the idea that CERN is trying to open up a portal possibly to an area near Saturn where these entities, the elite worship, could possibly pass through. And I was hoping to talk to him again in September, but he's announced that he will no longer speak publicly about CERN after dealing with some threats and intimidation. Now, this sounds pretty out there, this whole story, but you seem to be coming to a similar conclusion, right?
Yeah, but it's kind of, it's, man, see, CERN is a really, really interesting, it goes a lot deeper than just CERN. Now we're talking about Tesseract cubes, you know, and then we start getting into like movie type stuff, like the AllSpark in the movie Transformers. It's all, they're trying to tell you something in these movies.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch Age of Extinction, but Rise of the Fallen,
mm-hmm,
of Transformers. And there is dialogue in there that if you pick it apart, you will learn that, one, they're trying to tell you that entities have visited this Earth long before and left technology here. Does it seem strange that we have made technological leaps and bounds since the 1900s all the way to today? Would you ever think that we would be able to open up a portal to another dimension or anything? Let's say 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Absolutely not.
Right.
Absolutely not. So basically, in the grand scheme of things, we are basically leaving the horse and buggy, and all of a sudden now we're talking about hyperspace travel and all this other weird stuff. That it just seems like that's too way out there. When you think of, for thousands and thousands of years, they were still using spears, bows, and arrows. Right?
Right.
We're making huge leaps and bounds. And where's all that stuff coming from? Well, if you think about who's actually helping with all that, then you'll know that they are probably behind the technology of CERN, and they are attempting to do something.
Right.
And it may have to do with an incoming planet. I don't know how you feel about Nibiru, Planet X, whatever.
Yeah. I'm open to obviously all possibilities. I mean, interviewing some of these researchers, I mean, some shows contradict each other. You know, everybody has an opinion, but I am not sure of anything anymore. And Planet X is definitely an interesting saga. There's some compelling evidence that could be out there.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen my videos regarding Metatron's cube.
Yeah, I saw some of those.
And, well, not a lot of people actually are on board with what I'm trying to say there, but I have researched Freemasonry at the third level, the Master Mason. They have what you call a password. The password is, and the response is, who is Tubal Cain? Okay, the response is supposed to be the god Vulcan. Now, interestingly enough, Tubal Cain was, according to the Bible, the first artificer and teacher of metalworking.
Okay.
The god Vulcan is in the Roman pantheon, who happens to have a counterpart in the Greek pantheon, Hephaestus. They all three are metalworkers.
Okay.
Now, according to the Roman and Greek pantheon, Hephaestus and Vulcan had created the metal weapons that were used by their ancestors to defeat the Titan gods. Now, if Tubal Cain really is none other than the god Vulcan, then you have to ask, who did he make the metal weapons for? Well, I find that is none other than Enoch, who is none other than Jupiter, whose father is none other than Cain. And we know, according to the stories out of the Middle East, that the place Baalbek, according to their legends, was created by Cain. the Romans came along and built that temple right there and called it Jupiter Baal. So who is Cain's son? That's right, Enoch. Who is none other than Enoch? Jupiter. Who is none other than Zeus, which makes Cain none other than Cronos and Saturn. That's right. And once you start looking to see who ruled the last golden age? Cronos. Who are the elite trying to bring back into power right now? Who Zeus had locked up in Tartarus? Watch the movie Wrath of the Titans, and you will see that there is going to be a war between four individuals. It is going to be Zeus and Hades, who is the keeper of all who are locked up in Tartarus, against Cronos and their brother Poseidon. Did you ever see the Fallout game? And there is that billboard that says Helios 1 and Poseidon and Dawn of the Golden Age. Okay. Now, why do you think that Helios, a.k.a. Cronos, a.k.a. Ra, is mentioned there with the sun Poseidon, but Zeus and Hades is not? They're telling you exactly what I'm telling you. And the Illuminati are telling you in signs and symbology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is really fascinating stuff. And I've had some guests talk about it. They get into also Enki and Enlil and the Anunnaki story. And it is so confusing because these entities, their names have been changed so many times from culture to culture, and there's been so much deception here, and something I call the deity flip. It seems like the Vatican and the three major religions are worshiping a dark entity rather than something positive, and that might tie in here also. And then you get into the sun worship stuff, and the idea that there seems to be Saturn worship, and then there are some people trying to take that literally to say that Saturn was once a second sun. It gets pretty crazy trying to dissect all this stuff, but I guess to sum it up, there's two factions, and that's kind of where we are. Are we gonna see like a ramping up of these factions fighting on the Earth?
Well, I'll tell you this. There have been forces on this planet that have been fighting each other looking for a specific somebody. And that specific somebody is none other than Abraxas.
Okay.
Okay. Have you heard of him?
From researching your work, but that's it's fairly recent. I haven't heard that name before this week, actually.
Okay. Well, Abraxas is none other than Jupiter, Zeus, Enoch. Okay. And he's also goes by the name of Al-Qadir in Islam. Al-Qadir is his name, called the Green One. Well, the Green One also is none other than Osiris. So Zeus, Jupiter, Al-Qadir, Enoch, Osiris are all one and the same individual. Now, they have been looking for this individual, and it all probably stems way before this, but you can see the evidence of this in the Russia invading Afghanistan back in 1979, 1980. In 1978, there was a little statuette of a Garuda that was attacking a Nagini, you know, the Naga race, the serpent race.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not publicly... It was not made public until 1979. As soon as that became public information, Russia invaded Afghanistan. Okay? Right. Now watch this. What do you think that they were looking for? Well, the Garuda happens to be the protector of none other than Vishnu. Vishnu is none other than Zeus, Jupiter, Osiris, Enoch. Okay, that's according to the Mahabharata and the Hindu side of all of this.
Okay.
So that's why they were looking for that, right? They seen that, and they're like, oh, okay. So they rush over there. Guess what? What did you just see happen over here at Russia and Crimea? As soon as that pyramid that was found, and it had a crowned mummy inside, Russia rushed over to the Crimea and locked that down. Secured it. Why do you think that is? What do you think that they found? Well, I'll tell you what they found. They found none other than Abraxas. How do I know this? Because Christine Lagarde stated in her little numerological speech, oh, I want to test your numerology skills, right? That's what she stated. That's what she kind of opened up with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, before I even tell you what she had to say, you have to understand this.
Okay.
According to the Knights Templar and the Freemasons, they worship, like, you know, you hear the Freemasons, they talk about Jabulon, right?
Right.
And that means like the sun, Baal. Well, Baal is none other than Osiris, none other than blah, 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 okay?
Right.
The Knights Templar, they talk about the god that they worship, Abraxas, is a genie, okay? And he's the only genie that will interact with the human species or human beings. Okay, so what's another name for a genie? Genie, that's what the French call it, genie, right?
Okay.
So all of a sudden she starts talking about this numerology skills. I'm going to test your numerology. And she says it's all about the magic number 7. Mm. And the number 7 can be found here. Well, the number 7 is hugely associated with Abraxas, Osiris. Okay?
Okay.
So then she says, well, you know, inflation, you know, could let the genie out of the bottle. And you're like, okay, wait a minute here a second. What in the hell did genie in a bottle have anything to do with this conversation that you're having right here? And so I started piecing it all together, what she was telling. She's telling the people in the know what exactly is going on, what they found, so on and so forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Without coming out and really stating it.
Yeah.
So.
That is interesting, man. I mean, G is the 7th letter of the alphabet, and it's the symbol we see in the middle of the Freemasonic square and compass. Of course, you did mention Masonic tradition earlier, but does that tie in here? Is that the Masons telling you that 7 is important?
Have you ever looked at the Hebrew letters?
To some extent. The monster logo is 666 in Hebrew, apparently.
Right, vav, 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 right. Well, the one letter that looks like a G, and you turn it sideways, and it has a crown, and the representation of that letter is serpent. Well, just so happens that you turn that G, or you have that G, and then what's it called? Who do they really worship? Abraxas was two deities in one. Abraxas stated he was the original Chiro, the Chiro that you see where it's supposed to represent Christianity and Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that Chiro dates before Christ, and it's actually. Represents Abraxas.
Hmm.
If you look at all the ancient Chiros, and you'll see an S right there, and it is actually a serpent in the form of an S, right? Did you ever look at Superman's logo on his chest? Did you watch Man of Steel when she goes, oh, well, that looks like, and they cut it off. They cut it off with something coming over the loudspeaker. She was getting ready to say, oh, it looks like a serpent. Yeah, you're right. You're right, it does. It all, they're trying to tell you something. So anyway, what I was getting at is that this serpent, they've been worshiping the serpent race. But why did I tell you that Vishnu and Garuda is the protector if Abraxas is part of the serpent race? Well, you got to understand something. Cain, his father, married a different raced being. And what do I mean by this? Have you ever heard of the god Rhea that was supposedly married to Kronos?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She was of the bird deity. Why do you think that they named a bird species after her, the Rhea bird? Did you ever hear of the Ajiji gods other than the Anunnaki gods? Well, those Ajiji gods, one of them happened to go by the name of Lilith. And according to the Hebrew legends, Adam was actually married to Lilith before Eve was even created. And they had a daughter, and that was the daughter that Cain had hooked up with when he went to the land of Nod. There is your bird, your bird alien gods right there. So when Abraxas states that I am the Alpha and the Omega, he's telling you that he is from two different bloodlines. I am from the Alpha Serpent race, and I am from the Omega Ajiji God race. And we know that that's true because the symbol that is used on the Sumerian tablets for the Ajiji bloodline that was first used to create the slave labor to replace the Ajiji gods that the Anunnaki were using is the Omega symbol.
Hmm.
So that led me to why that the bloodlines, why that there's bloods. You know, you have A, B, AB negative, O, right?
Right.
So where did those bloodlines come from if we all stem from the exact same prehistoric mother, if you will, the same Eve, if you will?
Good question.
We shouldn't have any kind of divergent bloodlines. But we do because if you think about it, there were some, there was some interjections here and there, if you will. So, yeah, I do believe that that's the reason why. He is an A blood type and an O blood type, and he was the only one. Because of Cain being of the serpent race, you watch the movie Noah, and they keep telling you right there through the movie. Remember, that he's got the serpent keeps seeing him, right? He sees the serpent, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the Cain line, the serpent race. Then you have, of course, the wife that he married who happened to belong to part of the Ajiji bloodline. And Enoch just so happened to be both.
Hmm. So do you think this is the big secret amongst the elite? Is this why there is so much attention paid to bloodlines? Is this where it all sources from this, this secret history that's coded into the Bible and ancient texts about genetic engineering and the creation of man? Is this the basis for why they pay so much attention to bloodlines even today?
Oh, absolutely. You've heard of Rh negative bloodline, blood, right?
Right. That's the weirdest one.
Right. Rh negative means it's lacking the rhesus monkey antigen. Okay. So you have to ask yourself, if this only represents 15% of the global population, this Rh negative, and almost every single person of power and royalty is Rh negative. Well,
do the math.
Now all you have to do is start doing the math. Start doing the math. Yep.
So there definitely seems to be this ancient time, this ancient age where, you know, we're dealing with multiple types of entities on the earth. People talk about giants as well. A lot of crazy stuff going on. And then today seems relatively boring. I mean, of course, you do see some sightings and people do have some encounters with strange things. And we hear about little bits of them. We hear the whispers of them. So I guess what I'm asking is, do you consider the elite's actions in this realm to be more related to the past, or do you think these entities are still around today in some fashion?
Well, interestingly, when I grew up and I was learning about, you know, Christianity and reading the Bible and stuff, and I had believed what I was being told.
Right.
But something struck me as odd. I go, well, wait a minute. If the Bible is only coming from one source, and that would be the Israelites, so what did the other people around the globe have to say? If I start going to look at the Babylonian pantheon, or the Hittite, or the Canaanite, or the Sumerian, or a number of others, if I look at the Hindu, the Greek, the Roman, down in South, Mesoamerica, they all worship multiple gods. And the strange thing is they did it in the exact same way. They sacrificed animals to them, just like the Hebrews did. So why is it that the Hebrew were telling you that there's only one God, and these other ones worship multiple gods, and they did it in the exact same way? Well, when I started studying the Bible and was going, well, wait a minute. Why does Genesis 35:1 say, and God said to Jacob, arise unto Bethel and erect an altar unto the God who appeared to you there. Wait a minute. God is talking to him. Well, who in the hell is this other God that he's talking about?
Right.
Right? So I started to go, aha, they've been trying to hide something behind, the Hebrew word Elohim. Elohim, any word ending in I-M is plural. But they will tell you, oh, no, it's the plural. It's a plural verb, blah, blah, this, and try to just confuse you. Don't let them confuse you. Think about this in the grand aspect. And the reason why I gave you that whole rundown right there is this. myth is not necessarily myth. They call it Greek myth. They call it Roman myth. They call that myth. But how about the Navajo people and some of these Native American Indians that talk about the ant people or the people who live in tunnels underground and the Blue Kachina legend? Now, think about this a second. They're telling you that when the Blue Kachina star returns, the ant people will be coming above ground.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, wait a minute. What is the Blue Kachina star? Who are the ant people living under the ground? And don't think when they use the word ant that it means that they're small, because they're not. It just means that these are people who burrow underground. And they've had this legend for a long, long time. So where does that legend come from? Well, just so happens there are a lot of tunnels under the North America. There are a lot of interesting constructs around the earth, like the Hypogeum of Malta or Derinkuyu of Turkey. Who do you think built all those structures and why? My belief is when I had watched the movie Mole People, when I had studied ancient Britain used to be called Albion, means chalky white. That's where the word albino comes from. But who ruled this Albion? A race of white giants who happened to be defeated. And it is my belief that they, this race of giants, had actually created structures like Stonehenge. What does Stonehenge do? It keeps track of the sun's movements, different times of the year. There are Stonehenges that are right here in the United States that do the exact same thing, keep track of the seasons and the times of the year.
Right.
But for what? To go underground at certain times of the year because the sun's rays will affect their skin just like it does the albino people.
Wow, man. I mean, that makes sense. We see all this sun worship and we just assume it was timekeeping, but I mean, they put so much attention to detail in it. Maybe you can't see radiation. So maybe it is some kind of marker for when they start getting into the danger zone and have to go underground.
That's right. And the movie Mole People, it actually used in the movie. All you guys have to do is look that up. Watch it. These people are finding tablets. And the tablets tell them I think they said there were Sumerian tablets. They go up into the mountain and there's an entryway and they go in there and there's these people who have been living down there for thousands of years and they are all chalky white. And one of them happens to say, well, oh, this guy looks like he's suffering from albinism or he looks like he's an albino. And I was like, oh, there you go. Thank you very much. That's all that I needed. Because they love telling you these stories in movies and you don't even know that they're telling you the truth.
Right.
The vector that was in the TV show also is the exact same piece from Star Trek. You know the little symbol they wear on their shirt?
Right.
The vector? Right. They had the exact same. Where do you think that comes from? Where do you think the little swoosh thing that they use for NASA comes from? They are all venerating the exact same symbology, and they are putting it in movies. They are wearing it right there in front of your face. Almost every single space agency around the globe uses that symbol, and they will tell you different stories of reason why they're using it. It has to do with these giant race of gods who are none other than the Atlanteans, who are none other than, well, probably most likely the Anunnaki race.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I have had guests who come on the show, they talk about the Great Flood, the last big cataclysm, and that could have had some environmental effects that kind of changed the way, you know, maybe the size of humans or the types of humans that could thrive in the newly formed environment. Is that tie in here at all?
Yes, but let me expound on that a little bit and explain the experiment that was done. What they find is that there were different a different type of atmosphere way back 10,000, 12,000 BC. And we know this because we find that there was Upper Egypt or Upper Africa was much, much less arid. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It rained all the time. Mm-hmm. It was, hardly any type sun, stuff like that, right? Well, they find that the atmosphere was completely different as well. Like the ozone layer was much thicker. So what an experiment was done is they created an atmosphere type that was just like it would have been then. And they put a piranha in there. And what they found is that the piranha, instead of being normal size, blew up like four times its normal size.
Wow.
Right, because of the atmosphere changes, the old type of different ozone layer. And I was like, aha. So that's why the giants had grown to the size they were, and then men started getting smaller, smaller, smaller. Mm-hmm. Because of the atmosphere changes.
Yeah. So I guess, and we have seen a few people who, like you mentioned, the one story of someone who saw giants, Phil Schneider is another guy who talked about seeing giants underground. Do you think these giants are still around in modern times, in secret?
In secret? Oh, absolutely not. Not in secret. Oh. I can guarantee you one thing. Your government already knows all about it.
Well, right. I mean, to the masses.
Well, that's exactly the way the governments want to keep it. And there's probably good reason for that, because they're probably working very close with them.
Right.
So, yeah. But, yeah.
Are these giants perhaps are they the puppet masters atop of the pyramid?
That I have no doubt. That I have no doubt.
Wow. See, I love getting some type of explanation, because the top of the power pyramid is so murky. You know, some people give it to the Masons, some people give it to the Jewish banking families. I'm inclined to think that all the human factions seem to have some type of entity that they venerate, and there's got to be something to it, because they wouldn't do it just out of superstition. They're too, they use those kind of mind control techniques against us. They wouldn't be, I wouldn't think, victim to some superstition, but you see something like the owl statue at Bohemian Grove, and you start to wonder what they're venerating. So there must be something there. But I tend to think it's something multidimensional. But do you think at its core we're talking about these underground giants?
Well, absolutely. And as I have already stated, these giant race, or the serpent line, or the Anunnaki / Atlanteans, because, well, let's just face it. If I've already showed you that Zeus is none other than Jupiter / Enoch, right?
Right.
Well, that would make Enoch has a brother who is actually Poseidon. Who was Poseidon? He was the ruler of Atlantis. That's right. Hmm. So that and you heard of the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, the Atlantean?
Yes.
Well, he happens to be related to Osiris. Osiris is none other than Enoch, Zeus, Jupiter. So that means that they are Atlantean / Anunnaki. Okay?
Okay.
So if you have a government that's not willing to come out and go, you know what, we've already discovered that Atlantis was real. We've discovered that Lemuria was real. And if you even listen, let me give it to you like this. Let me just see if I can make this even more easier for you. Super Bowl 2014, there was a Maserati commercial that came out. Okay. Mm-hmm. The little black girl started talking about, oh, the giants, they've always been here. We had to learn to deal with them. We were small, remember? Do you remember how she was talking about all that?
Mm-hmm.
And the freaking commercial had nothing to do with Maserati whatsoever. It was a message, right?
Right.
So there's something going on here. They're trying to tell you, and I kind of lost my train of thought what I was going to tell you. But anyway, these giants who are Atlanteans / Anunnaki, it all ties in with Switzerland, because Switzerland uses on their flag the cross symbol. That cross symbol is none other than the same exact cross that you can find in the Vatican. The Swiss Guard is the only guard that they use to protect the Pope and the Vatican. Okay, that cross is none other than the Anunnaki planet of the crossing cross. They use that same cross with the Nazis, with the Iron Cross. And is it any wonder then that the Black Sun, or you've heard of the Black Sun?
Yeah, from Nazi times, right?
Right. The whole thing about the Black Sun was to prepare the Aryan race for the return of the people from underground in the Age of Aquarius. That's what it was all about. an alien underground race was going to be coming in the Age of Aquarius, and it was Hitler and his people that were going to prepare the alien race for their return or their arrival. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We are in the Age of Aquarius, my friend. We are, if you look at the Navajo and their legends about the ant people and the Blue Star Kachina, you look at, everybody's talking about Nibiru is on its way. It's there. It all meshes together. All of it.
Wow. I mean, so I guess you would say the one of the main agendas right now is to prepare the environment for the return of these giants. Could that possibly be what chemtrails are there to do? Block out the sun in some way?
No doubt. No doubt. Do you remember what I told you? Remember I told you about albino? Fair-skinned.
Right.
Yeah, buddy.
And there are Native American cultures that have stories, I believe it's the Navajo, have stories of red-haired giants.
That they actually, the giants would steal their women, and they would chase them into, like, caves and shoot them with bows and arrows.
Right, and they were cannibalistic. It's kind of like the Time Machine with the Morlocks and the Eloi.
Yes. Now you're seeing, yep.
Wow. So, would you say the larger population on the surface is somehow energetically or quite literally a food source for these underground entities still?
Well, you know, that's interesting you asked that, because someone asked in a question or a comment that in one of my videos, well, where are they getting their food from if they're cannibals? And I go, well, first of all, they may not be feeding you clone cattle here, right? You know, you're the powers that be. Or, you know, well, we can't clone cows and for you guys to eat. But they could be underground cloning people left and right. And that would be a great food source. But the other thing is, too, do you remember how many people have been disappearing in, like, national parks? And there's people that disappear. Like, we're talking about 600,000-700,000 a year?
Yeah, tons.
Right, tons. Where are all these people going to? Shouldn't we all be like going with like underground radar and just go all over the whole United States and see if there's like graves, see if like serial killers may have like buried them or something? Because there's no way a serial killer or even 200 serial killers operating at the same time could dispose of that many bodies. Just right. Not going to happen. So it could very well be that they have found themselves to be a food source for these cannibalistic underground giants.
It definitely could be. And I guess it's easy to see what chemtrails would be doing to get the environment ready for that type of situation. Do we know exactly what CERN's doing? Because I hear people say opening up a portal, but if these beings are under the earth, I don't think they need a portal necessarily.
Well, see, that's the interesting thing. Remember I told you that there was an issue, according to the Roman and Greek pantheon, is that the Olympic gods, which would be Zeus, Osiris, Enoch, defeated his father, Cain, Kronos, Saturn. Now, do you remember the myth, how it goes? That when they defeated him, that they cast them down and, you know, locked them in Tartarus and so on and so forth?
Mm-hmm.
Well, where's Tartarus? Well, interesting. According to some writers like H.P. Lovecraft in the Cthulhu mythos and other typewriters, that Tartarus is none other than Antarctica, which is pretty interesting because didn't we see that's exactly where Hitler had had his ship stormed down there to Antarctica?
Absolutely.
The United States tried to follow close behind, and what did we hear happen in that incident?
We faced some unstoppable force and had to turn back.
Exactly. There you go, buddy. There you go.
Man, so I guess another question I have for you, because I'm just trying to get the details of what these beings may be like. You know, some people talk about them as giants, and I've heard plenty of eyewitness accounts of people seeing giants in underground caverns and stuff that look somewhat albino. And then also other people talk about them being reptilian in nature. Do they have those characteristics too? Are we talking about different factions, or do you consider the reptilian stuff to be symbolic largely?
No, it's like, I don't know if I can see if I can explain this to you too well, but have you ever heard, and I don't mean this disrespect anybody out there listening, But you'll have like an interracial couple, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you got a black and a white.
Right.
And they have a child that's pretty much, you know, mixed. And then you have that mixed that marries a white person. And then this, so on and so forth down the line. And then all of a sudden, like about 10 ways down the line, all of a sudden a black child comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And but do you see what I'm saying?
Right. It could be it could be a dormant type of thing.
Exactly. See, that's what I'm saying about these reptilian giant race, that they have double rows of teeth in most instances. That's what I've been hearing from researchers, mm-hmm. and seeing some of the evidence before the Smithsonian Institute destroyed that evidence, showed double rows of teeth, some with six fingers, so on and so forth. And I'm thinking that it's quite possible that the reptilian skin, there may be some scales in certain instances. And another thing that leads me to that is this. When I look at the story of Hernando Cortez showing up in 1513, Montezuma was expecting the return of Quetzalcoatl that year.
Right. Feathered serpent, bird and reptile.
That bird and reptile. Hello. There you go. The alpha, the omega. Remember what I told you.
Right.
So he is expecting Quetzalcoatl. And why did he think that Hernando Cortez was Quetzalcoatl? Well, just so happens that Spaniards are very, very light, fair-skinned. And he thought that that's who it was until all of a sudden Hernando Cortez and his men started killing people trying to get the gold. You know, it's like, well, why are you killing us? The gold belongs to you. The gold belongs to the gods.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't understand it. Right. So, yeah.
And that saga is so... like the timing of it, it's so coincidental, you would think that, you know, how could these people show up at this exact time when there's this myth laid in place for these other people that some being that has their characteristics is supposed to show up. And it gets me thinking about the power of these entities. Was that mythological base for the Aztecs? Was it laid there?
No. Well, here's what I think that people are failing to understand. The way the calendar was set up and the way that their belief system was is like he could show up this year or this year or this one here 3 years past that.
Right.
So what I think it was is they were expecting one of like – and this is just an example – one of any 10 years.
Gotcha. Pockets of time.
Right. And then all of a sudden he happened to show up in that one and go, aha, he is here. Boy, you know, he could have came 2 years later and he would have, aha, he's here. So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, gotcha.
So I think that was the case. I don't think it was like, you know, 1513 is that's the only year. And then all this guy mysteriously shows up. No.
Right.
It was one of any set of so many different years it could have been.
Right. That totally makes sense with the secular nature of their timekeeping. But another thing that sounds really far out is that we've been getting lately into this research of a Russian scientist named Hadibov. We've been talking about a lot of the things he talks about in there, mention a race of spider-like beings. And this has been dovetailing into a lot of other research. And I've heard you mention a type of spider being. Tell us how that fits in here.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's all part of your AGG race. See, okay, let me explain something to you. When I was researching the Sandy Hook event, if you want to call it that, what I noticed is that there was somebody who looked just like Ryan Lanza, and he is he works in the bioengineering field, if you will, cloning and stuff like that. And I thought that he was involved in this, and I seen something that he said. He just out of the random, he said, well, I you know, was walking, and in the tree I saw this golden orb weaver spider. And I'm like, well, why wouldn't you just say spider? Why wouldn't you just say that, right? No, he had to make it specific, and it didn't make any sense. I always look for clues like that, always. So then I started looking at it, and it started dawning on me, okay, if he says something like that, well, does it have anything to do with Bohemian Grove? Weaving spiders come not here, right? So what is the scientific name for the golden orb spider? It is called the Nephila. That's right. That is the ancient name for the constellation Orion. So when you look at the Bohemian Grove and you see the round belt around the owl, and on that belt it says, weaving spiders come not here. Whoa, who are they talking to? That's right. The spider race of the constellation Orion, the Ajiji gods that they had first used as slave labor on this planet by the Anunnaki, was none other from the constellation Orion, who, according to some of the Native American legends, Grandmother Spider, you ever heard of her? What does Grandmother Spider look like? She looks like a Garuda. She looks like a phoenix bird. She looks like the griffin. Exactly. So this all ties in with, and Rhea too. You remember I told you about Rhea, the white, right? Her, one of her scientific, part of her scientific name is Spider. So now you're starting to understand that the spider aspect of all this is the Ajiji gods against the Anunnaki gods. Get it?
Right. Man, it's seems like such a deep and epic saga to still be continuing in the subtext of everything that goes on today.
Oh, man. I can't even begin to tell you how deep I've had to go in all this, and it takes you in so many different directions. And it's really hard to keep all this in context because it'll take you in so many different directions.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Like, and the layers of all the different names, trying to sort that all out, it's tough.
Oh, it is. It absolutely, it is. I could sit here and tell, I could, been studying it so long, I can tell you exactly what God is who. You know, like I could tell you, like, El, the God of the Jews, and your people out there ain't going to buy into this, and that's fine. All you got to do is research it. El is none other than Saturn, who is none other than Kronos, who is none other than Cain. That's right. Right, folks? Cain was the deity of the Jews. Sorry, is that you don't want to hear that. His son, Baal, is none other than Osiris, Enoch. Yes, that's why the Jews had went go chasing after Baal worship, after El.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why. You know, some people call it Yahweh, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
So Baal, Marduk, Osiris, they're all one and the same. All one and the same.
Damn. Wow, man, we are definitely getting close to the end there. There's so much going on in this fourth quarter in 2015. Is there anything we didn't touch on that you think people should be aware of in the next few months?
Yeah. Don't give up your guns. That's all I got to tell you. Don't give up your guns.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a government that is trying to tell you that the dangers are lurking out there of ISIS. ISIS is looking for ways to come into the country and do damage to American citizens. Yet at the same time, they're pulling off these hoaxes to go after your guns. If the government can't protect you from people that they're claiming are going around and shooting people willy-nilly for no reason, what makes you think that the government's going to be able to protect you if ISIS were real? And if they really were coming here to do you harm? If they can't protect you in an instance now, they're not going to be able to protect you then. So I would advise you to keep your guns and, you know, to be able to protect yourself against any threat. And you know what threat I'm talking about. Doesn't happen to be ISIS.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, man. Right on. Well, Professor Doom, it has been an honor and a pleasure, man. Please let the people know where they can keep up with you and anything else you got going on before we call it in.
Well, yeah, you can. I am on Twitter, and also you can find me on. I can't remember. You know, I don't even know what my freaking Twitter handle is because I don't know that stuff that I don't even study too much. But you can find me, Professor Space Doom One on YouTube, and you can find me on my backup channel, Professor Space Doom Two, and that's the number, not like TWO. And then my Twitter is Professor_Doom1.
Right on. Why two YouTube channels?
Well, because of the content that I make, a lot of times they will tell you that, you know, you are using material that's not, meet our community guidelines, and they'll give me a strike. And then guess what? If there's a video that I need to make that's over 15 minutes long, I can't do it because they've given me a strike and they'll limit me to 15 minutes. Or they may remove my channel, period.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I have to rebuild another channel and people don't know where to find me? Well, now they do. If they ever remove me, I can go right to my backup channel and I'll be right there.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah, YouTube has so many regulations, very draconian and authoritarian, and I guess you got to do what you can to avoid their pitfalls, which means two channels.
Yes.
Awesome, man. Well, I did find this fascinating. It was a real pleasure having you here. I think we covered a lot of ground. You're doing some seriously deep level stuff. My mind is thoroughly blown, so I guess take care of yourself out there, and hopefully we'll still be here in January.
Well, you know, hey, maybe you might want to have me somewhere around after September and October, and we can see where we find ourselves.
Amen, man. That sounds good.
All right, buddy.
All right, dude.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, take care.
All right.
Boom. There we go. Lords and lasses. Man, that was quite a ride. We started out relatively down to earth and then went way out into low earth orbit, which is about as far as you can go from what I hear. But of course, I knew that's where we were going to go for the most part. I can still imagine how some might have thought, wow, that took a really strange turn. But you know, reality is one strange turn after another. So what are you going to do? Is GC-MAF the biological breakthrough and the key to the lock that is the shadowy vaccine agenda? Are the elite worshipping Abraxas, and is the goal to replicate him to rule once more? I don't know. I'm not sure if we're dealing with beings from Nibiru coming into a celestial position that allows them a window to travel to Earth, or if they need CERN to do it, or if they're trapped somewhere in Antarctica, or if they're underground giants waiting for the geoengineering agenda to recreate their albino giant paradise. I don't know. Maybe elements of all three are true. None would surprise me. Or we could be taking certain data and running with a crazy interpretation. It's hard to know, but September does seem to be a time to watch, and all the shows like this one are saying it. And I'll say, so far so good for anyone who's seen the latest strangeness in the sky. Most of you should remember the Norway spiral. I think it was one of the most interesting things to see in the sky in the last 10 years, honestly. It was nuts. Well, just 2 days ago, September 2nd or so, someone caught footage of another something in the sky that looked similar, but different. More like a slow-moving rocket that opened up into a lasso of light and smoky fog. Could it be an attempt at opening a portal? Could it have been a portal? Could it have been just a failed missile launch, like they seem to say? It was weird, and I think it might just be the start of a wild September ride. Maybe I'm hoping for something wild. I'm getting a little bored binge-watching Naked and Afraid and waiting for the end of the world. No, I'm just messing around. I don't want to be that guy. And I have no expertise or reason to believe September is anything other than another month in a long cycle of months, except for the multitude of researchers in various threads saying to be on high alert. I don't even know what good it is to be on high alert, really. I guess when the sentient black goo or the Jade Helm supercomputer come for us, or the economy falls through the floor and the Anunnaki start the harvest, we can say, we told you so? I guess that's not nothing. Cat Williams has a new comedy tour coming out called The Conspiracy Tour, where he says he's going to talk about the things you're not supposed to talk about. And anybody who knows the history of Cat Williams should be really interested in this tour. I can't wait. I also talked to Graham Hancock. Looks like we're going to be doing a show in November. I think I might have already told you that now that it's coming out of my mouth. What else? Well, the Plus show, I guess I should sell you on that. If you heard the first hour and liked it, you'd probably like the second. More about the Anunnaki serpent bloodline, more about the CERN connections and the black cube symbolism, and the Virginia and Charleston church shootings, and the big date of September 23rd as the day to watch. If there's a movie out you really want to see, a woman you want to profess your love to, a restaurant in town you've been wanting to try, go on the 22nd. Although 11-22 doesn't sound like a good numerical combination either. Better get your bucket list done on the 21st, just to be safe. You know, I really do think there is something here, but I'm not fully connecting all the pieces. It's just odd. We see these beings, these deities, and the symbols that they're associated with, and then we see these symbols associated in nearly all major media, movies, music, TV, the Super Bowl, the VMAs, and then of course news stories, probably the weirdest aspect because it involves something that is supposed to have actually happened randomly in the world, but yet the symbols still come into play. I don't know, but we're going to keep digging. Although that is it for me this week. Sign up for Plus if you haven't already. Big thanks to Professor Doom. He does do fascinating work. Check out his YouTube channels, Professor Doom 1 and Professor Doom 2. And I'll see you when I see you. Your move, Disciples of Abraxas. Your frickin' move.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man behind blue eyes. And no one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to telling only lies. But my dreams aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be. I have hours only lonely since they exposed me on THC. No one knows what it's like to feel these feelings like I do, and I blame you. No one bites back as hard on their anger. None of my pain and woe can show through. But my dreams aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be. I have hours always lonely since they exposed me on THC. Sad man behind